Well, as Andrea mentioned, this is our last Thursday, so it's kind of a hard thing because we have so enjoyed it. And I certainly am counting on the fact that you've made new friendships, that new relationships have been formed, and that you'll stay in touch with each other. I am such a believer in having at least one or two people in your life that you know you can either shoot an email off to or give them a quick call and just say, you know, would you please pray for me? And I know we have that happening on Facebook on a grand level. And that's fine too, because I know people do stop and pray. But at the same time, that I'm talking about someone who you know knows your heart, your circumstances, knows your frailties, and loves you dearly. That is so wonderful to be able to have someone to just reach out to in that way and know that they're going to pray for you, even as if they were to make the call to you. You would be right there praying for them. I one story comes to my mind of when, this was many, many, many years ago, when I had a little prayer group that I was a part of, and Pam was in that. I look back and I see her, and we're talking over 30 years ago, but there were basically eight of us, and we prayed for each other, and we could send out those SOS prayer requests when we had them, and know that when we hung up, prayer was being said regarding that very issue. And one story I always loved was of one of our gals sharing how she was fixing dinner when the prayer request came in. And she says she was at her stove, you know, and she gets the phone and she gets the prayer request. And she said, oh, yes, because one of the things we like to do was to pray together with the person we were passing the request on to. And that way it wasn't just will you pray, but prayer was being said at each juncture. And she told the story how, you know, she gets the phone and she's stirring. She goes, oh, of course I'll pray right now. And she says, so she's literally down on her knees in her kitchen, you know, praying with the person and stirring, you know. And one of her kids came in afterwards and said, you know, Mom, you know, but at the same time, we said later, what a wonderful memory for your kids to remember that day they walked into the kitchen and there's Mom kneeling, stirring and praying, you know. And we all need those kinds of people in our lives. And we can visit with people. We can have lunch with people. We can do things like this. And all of that meets a very real need, no question about it. But there's nothing that replaces that real kinship that the Lord would develop for all of us with one another. So I do pray that you've taken advantage of the opportunity that has been presented to you every week by just coming here. The four of us have loved this. And I thank you for those of you who have emailed, because those emails are so special. The email availability is always there, so remember that. You know, whether you email me and ask me to pass it on or email any one of us, we are here for you. Literally, we are. We love you. We appreciate you. For the older gals who have plugged in and continued to come, I am so grateful. Because truly, I know that that is something that the Lord wants to do in increasing measure in the body at Athey. We have so many young women and so many young families. And it would be easy for the older women to kind of feel like, well, they're in the outer group. And no, they're in a part that is really important for those younger women, and all they have to do is avail themselves. And for those of you who have been coming, that's exactly what you've been doing, and I appreciate that so much. Just to tell you that I was told this morning, because for those of you who have ever listened online, you'll know that we had a little glitch after 8 weeks and nothing happened for quite a while. But now I have been told that the 5 weeks that followed have been brought up to date online, and today's teaching will probably be online also either before the end of the week or early next week. So that will remain. And actually, I'm looking forward to listening to those to just kind of hear what the Lord did through this season. But that will be available for you to listen or re-listen to if you want to. This morning, what we're going to do is just have a little kind of a send-off with thoughts that each one of us would want to share with you. We haven't sat down and decided what we're going to share. We haven't shared with one another. But I love that too, because it's that where there is repetition, you can be sure that's the Lord's heart. And yet I just love seeing how the Lord has every week just tapped into each one of our lives. As you can see, we're all in different places in our lives. And yet the Lord would use that, and we have been blessed by it. So let's start with Paul and what you would like to share with the gals.
I hope it is on. Okay. So I've been thinking, and I was like, gosh, how do you capture, you know, all our weeks together in like 10 minutes? Because that's kind of what we have about there. And the only thing that keeps coming to mind is that we have to have a relationship with the Lord. Because if we don't have that, then we have nothing. And so I think, you know, people ask me about my kids and how I raise my family, and I say on my knees, and that's the truth. Because if we don't have him, we have nothing, and we can't even equip ourselves, and we can't do anything well without having him there. And so I'm thinking, well, how do I really share that? And I thought about something that's a little different. And I'm going to stand and I'm going to show you. I'd like to know how many of you have had ballroom dancing lessons. Yeah. So if you know, when you do ballroom dancing with a man, you actually put yourself in front of him and you hold out your arms to him. And he comes and he stands in front of you. If you want to be a good woman in the arms of the man who's guiding you, you have to submit yourself to him fully. And the way you do that is you can just close your eyes and you just really, you wait for him to lead you. And if you have a very good partner, even if you don't know how to dance, he's going to show you exactly where to go. Because he will gently push this hand, which will make you step this way. And he'll push it back and makes you step this way. And if you don't fight him, if you just let him, you will be a beautiful couple together, and you can do this dance together in a beautiful way. And I learned that when I was doing ballroom dancing with my son Paul, because Paul's a beautiful dancer and he leads. And I found when I was trying to watch the step and I was trying to do this and you're trying to think about what you're doing, you don't do very well. But really, if you just give yourself over to your leader and you really give yourself to him, you do this beautiful dance together, because he will show you exactly where you need to go. And that's how it is with the Lord, and that's how it is with everything. And if you figure that out, that if he's nudging this shoulder because you need to step back, then wait for it and step back. And if he's pulling you forward to step forward a couple steps like this, then step forward a couple steps. And that's how it is with who we are as raising children or raising grandchildren or whoever it is that God puts in your life, that you just wait for him, that you stand and you submit yourself to him. Let him guide you every step of the way. And it doesn't sound like it's hard, but if you haven't done it fully, you don't know what that really feels like. Because really, when you get that, life is wonderful, and it's certainly a lot easier than trying to figure it out on your own. And that's the thing that I was thinking is the best thing that I could say, is that figure that out. Get yourself straight with the Lord. Read His Word. Have a relationship with Him. And that you start every morning, that you start waiting for Him with your arms open, because He's ready to lead you. He's waiting to receive you in His arms, and He wants to show you the way. And I just think that's the only way that we get through motherhood. It's hard. It's hard being a mom. It's daily. It gets monotonous. It's exhausting. But really what we're doing every single day is we're just glorifying Him by spending time with the people that He's placed in our lives. And I think that we don't do that part-time. We give ourselves fully over to that. We embrace motherhood. We embrace being a grandmother. We embrace being aunties. We embrace whoever He puts in our lives. And that we do that with pleasure. And that we do that to honor Him and to serve Him. And I can't think of anything more amazing, really, to see the fruit of that labor at the end of when your child walks down the aisle, like I experienced this weekend, or when your children have grandchildren and you get to see the fruit of those grandchildren growing up and being Christians, and that you have this whole heritage behind you of a Christian family. And that's because you really tucked into the Lord and you stepped into those open arms and you're willing to be led.
So that connects well with what I was going to say, which is great because we didn't talk about it at all. I think that I love what Paula said about just lending yourself to your partner, you know, and then knowing also that the ultimate partner is Christ. And I think sometimes there's a disconnect for us as Christians. Do we just do it on our own? It's almost like when you look at John 15 and you have to remember that part of the fruit that comes from your life is being connected to the vine. So just like Paula said, with the dancing image, you have to stay connected. You have to, you know, in the Lord. That's where the fruit comes then, is from that main source. I love it. But to help you a little bit, I was going to read, the Lord just kept putting Ephesians chapter 1. So if you want to turn there and follow, or just close your eyes and listen. But I know for me, like Paula said, during those hard times, at the root of it is the refreshment comes when I realize who I am in the Lord. So just starting, and I'm going to change it from Ephesus to Athy Creek. I'm going to read it, but starting from the second part of verse 1 in chapter 1, to the saints, or today let's say moms, assuming you are all saints in Christ, but to the moms at Athy Creek, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And you know, sometimes you might not think that you've been blessed. It might not feel like you've been blessed, but God's word says we have been blessed. And so just know that and rest in that, that it's not about you. It's about what the Lord's already given you, and He promises it in His word. And then it says, for He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. And you can thank God for the fact that He has chosen you. What a sweet thing that you have been specially selected and handpicked by the Lord. That's such a sweet, sweet knowledge to have. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And that would be my prayer, that as you know that you're forgiven, when your little kiddos do things that they need forgiveness too, that you would remember that, that the whole purpose is to lead them to redemption and to forgiveness, and for them to understand that love's been lavished on them. So yes, we have the hand of discipline, but even greater is that hand of love. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. And I pray that for your family, that you would be one, that you would have a unified home. And as Paula said, that partnership with your husband, that that would not be set apart or broken apart, especially not by your own actions, but that you would be one in your home. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Verse 15, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I think that's a proper reflection of all four of us here, that when we think of you, that's the heart behind everything we share, is that we're thinking about you, and we don't stop to pray for you. We think about you in our prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And I think that's the sum of it. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And that's just my prayer for you, that you would recognize that and acknowledge that, and then live in that that love that's been lavished upon your life, that we all would do that. It makes each day easier, even if your kids are a little cranky. It really, really helps just to know who you are in the Lord. So that's my prayer for you.
Okay. Boy, how fun to hear. And that picture, too, of the ballroom dancing, it's like just really immediately brought to my mind. And I think I shared this before, but when my kids were, like, Joel had not even started kindergarten, I was fretting about, how are we going to pay for college? and I really was, like, praying, Lord, how are we going to pay for college? I mean, because, you know, at that time in life, usually money's not too plentiful and you can't start a college fund. And truly, I just love that picture of the Lord, of just letting go and letting the Lord lead, because that is specifically what he told me, was let go. It's not your worry. You just follow me. And he also tells us to sing forth his praises, because this weekend we're going to see our son graduate from college. And I can praise the Lord and say, Tad and I have contributed this much to pay for his education. We've contributed a lot of this. And we send him money maybe for travel or incidentals or things like that. But the burden of his college education, the Lord fully covered. And I mean, just for any of you, I mean, with these beautiful things that Debbie has shared and that Paula shared, I mean, that to me just came to my mind. It's an example. He absolutely does what he says, and you get to relax along the way and enjoy your life with your kids and really learn. I mean, that's such a love relationship that we have with the Lord. You know, when we can relax and see he's got it in hand, he's got us covered. You know, so that's just really awesome. So the one thing that I had But as I was just kind of thinking and praying, so, you know, what would I want to say for the summer? And I'm just have prayed all the way here this morning, Lord, make this cohesive. My mind is scattered and all over the place as we're getting ready to go. So, but this story came to my mind when we were getting Amy ready to bring her back for college. You know, well, first, with the first Sunday back to our church in Natanara, after we left Joel at school, Floyd, one of our pastors there, prayed for Joel, and it just, I tell you, they love my kids. It touches my heart just amazingly. But he just prayed, said, Lord, you know, we're here in Vanuatu, and you're with us. And Joel's at Wheaton College, and you're with him. And he said, we just thank you that you're going to look out for Joel. You know, it just meant so much to me, but that really stuck with me. And as we were preparing Amy, you know, to get ready to go, I just remembered that, and I was thanking the Lord for that. But you know how we still have our role to play. And, of course, what comes to my mind, she's going to go to college, and she's going to meet guys. You know? I got to give her all the advice I can while I'm here. You know? So we got into this joke where I'd say, okay, Amy, obviously he's going to be a Christian. You know, we don't even have to talk about that. But remember, level head. I give her hand motions. Kind heart. Backbone. So it got to be this joke. She'd come in the kitchen. I'd go. So, but it stuck with her. She remembered it. Not that I'm saying she has a guy. She doesn't have a guy. But where am I going with this? That is so who the Lord is for us in our lives. You know, and the verse that came to my mind was Revelation 13:19. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. And he loves us. And if you go through a season where the Lord is specifically humbling you, where there's a specific thing that he is humbling you for, and he is disciplining you, you can know the only reason he's disciplining you is because of his great love for you. And I know when I've gone through those seasons where weeds are getting pulled out of my heart, he at the same time will speak words, I mean, in just the most amazing ways, and I know many of you have experienced this. The verses will come to me, you know, you are mine, I have called you by name, you know, and you are all fair, my beloved. You know, those kinds of verses will come into my life, and just, I love that the Lord gives us his love at the same time as he knows it's painful for us to be humbled. He knows that adult spankings hurt a lot worse than kid ones, you know. And he loves us. But I think the thing that brought to my mind, I thought if there's something I wanted to share with moms, it applies to all moms, especially moms of young kids, that really, really is something that we can use for our example. You know, that those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, that we, like the Lord, can have, you know, that kind heart to love, but we can have the backbone to rebuke when they need it. And the level head to discipline, to have a focus of what we're trying to accomplish in our kids when we're disciplining them. And a story came to my mind, and I texted Amy and asked her if it was okay if I shared this story. And she said, yes, after all, she wasn't even 2 years old, but still. Amy was able, because you've heard about the Joel stories, but Amy was able by the time she was 20 months old to tell me anything she wanted to tell me. She was, and think, Judy had told me, left-handed kids speak sooner, because that's what Dad was. And I couldn't believe it. She's telling me full sentences. She's 20 months old, you know. But she could say anything that she wanted to say. Well, when she was about 22 months old, we had just this one morning when we had this dining room table with fabric covers on the chairs. So I would put towels over the chairs so that when the kids ate, you know, I didn't have to constantly be cleaning the covers. Well, she was going to get up to the table and color with her big brother, Joel. So she pulls the towel off the chair. And I said, no, Amy, Mommy wants the towels on the chair. You know, so she pulls it off again. I said, no, Amy, Mommy wants the towel. Okay, you picture blue darling eyes, golden blonde curls. Don't you tell me what to do. You can. I thought, you're 22 months old. How do you know how to say that? I thought, well, this is our moment. So I said, Amy, you do not talk to mommy that way. You never talk to mommy like that. And she just kept, I said, you tell mommy sorry that I spoke rudely to you. And I knew that she could say the whole sentence. She just looked at me and literally. And so I said, okay, you go sit on Joel's bed. I couldn't sit on her bed because hers was a toddler bed. You go sit on Joel's bed. And so she knew it was coming. So I paddled her bottom and I said, okay, now you tell me, mommy, I'm sorry I spoke rudely to you. And she just goes, I said, okay, I'm gonna go and you have to sit here and you have to be quiet and I'll come back. So I came back and I said, okay, can you tell me, mommy, I'm sorry I spoke rudely to you? And she goes, so let's just say there were a few spankings over this issue. I kept going, coming back, giving her the chance. And then a couple of times she'd say, sorry. But, and see, I had learned with Joel, see, in my earlier days, I would have thought, oh, you know, they meant to. They got the word sorry out. They meant to. But thankfully my husband, and boy, it just matters so much to listen to our husbands. Because boy, our husbands, typically it seems that men, you know, we all want our kids to do well today and for the long haul. Typically men look at their character. And we look at their heart very often. But it's the character that holds the heart up. You know, and it's so important to listen to our husbands. And very often it will seem to go against making our children's hearts happy. But for the long haul, that strong character really matters. And one of the things that Dad would tell me with Joel is, stop giving him the benefit of the doubt. He knows what he's doing. I'd say, okay. So I learned it. I thought if Dad were here, he'd be telling me, don't give her the benefit of the doubt. So I'm sorry I'm going on. But anyway, she said, I came back. And I didn't know it was the final time. And I just said, okay, Amy, can you say, mommy, I'm sorry I talked rude to you. And she's like this. And then she looks up and goes, oh, sorry. It was way too loud. She goes, but she totally started crying. Mommy, I am so sorry I talked rude to you. She got the whole sentence out. Her little sweet self came out. The little hard shell around her heart was gone. And she was my best friend for the rest of the day. She couldn't quit coming and hugging my legs. She was just so delighted. And so I tell that story because there, it is so important. And I'll read a little passage in Isaiah 28 when I was kind of going through these days with my oldest, because he needed more. The Lord gave me this passage in Isaiah 28, and it starts in verse 26. It says, his God instructs him and teaches him the right way. Caraway is not threshed with a sledge, nor is a cartwheel rolled over cumin. Caraway is beaten out with a rod, and cumin with a stick. Grain must be ground to make bread, so one does not go on threshing it forever. Though he drives the wheels of his threshing cart over it, his horses do not grind it. All this also comes from the Lord Almighty, who is wonderful in counsel and magnificent in wisdom. And I loved the picture of this because, again, you know, when you have spices, very often there's that hard shell and it needs to be threshed. And it, you know, God doesn't run over it with a sledge or a cartwheel because that crushes the whole thing. But he does beat out caraway with a rod and cumin with a stick. And I just believe that he was really showing me that. And again, you know, in Proverbs we have it's the rod of discipline that we're to use. And he who spares the rod, you know, spoils his child, meaning ruins him, you know. So we have the rod, but it's that discipline and that consistency to break, it's breaking off that hard shell of selfishness in the heart of our children. And it brings forth the beautiful, sweet child. I mean, just comes out. It's like the spice is able to come out when that hard shell is taken off. And I guess I just wanted to encourage you, you know, to see it through to the end. Partner with the Lord, be praying, be joining with your husband. And just see it through, because the Lord blesses. He absolutely does. And, you know, again, I had that one specific story, and of course we all have many more, but I guess I just wanted to give you one that was pretty specific. I mean, that was just pretty fun that day. And so that was great. But anyway, and then in, let's see, Proverbs, 13. I went to the wrong one. Let's have to look it up here. Okay, 13:24, yes, it says, "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him." And then in 13:14, "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death." And I'm not, certainly not wanting to say, go forth and spank your children all summer. That's not what I'm trying to say. But just to remember that when we do things the Lord's way, you know, it's that love. Again, those whom he loves, he rebukes and disciplines. And the Lord, and I just love, you know, that example. You know, when we follow the Lord and do as he's saying, he creates the beautiful thing. You know, he's the one who does it. And it's just so worth it. It's just so worth it. So, anyway, I think that's all.
Well, thank you so much. And I have a little note here on Proverbs 23:13, where I have just written in, if you give in, you'll give up. And I don't know where I got that from. It could have been in a teaching. It could have been something the Lord gave me. I have no idea. But that's what I love about making little notes in your Bible is when something really speaks to you, if you write it in, then it's there always. You know, I just love what the Lord has done here, because when I prayed about what the Lord would have me share, and I was just kind of going in my mind through the various weeks and what has been shared, and I've just loved the things that have been shared regarding parenting, because truly these three women, and I say this from my heart, are women that I love and appreciate and I so respect. They are women who truly do their very utmost to live what they're presenting to you. And I do, I remember that specific day that Marna was just sharing about with Amy. This is one of the things, I think I was there and saw that, and yet, because I'm such a visual person, you know, I could have created it all in my mind, but I'm so sure I saw Amy say that to Marna, because I remember when Marna told me, just thinking, she said that, you know. But I really appreciate the three of you and that you've been so willing to share every week. And the thing is, as we have said, and always want to emphasize, because there's something about being out there, and that includes when we're out there, you want to elevate the people or the person who's up here. You know, we like to idolize people. We like to put people on pedestals, you know. And that's why probably every week, I'll find out when I listen, I have tried to emphasize the fact that, you know, none of us are perfect people. We've all had our shares of failures and problems and challenges. And so realize that. And yet the blessing of being where we are at this point in life is being given the opportunity to share what we have learned with people who are willing to come and listen. You know, it's really a privilege. And so all of that to say, as I prayed and sought the Lord regarding the various things that were shared, and initially my thought had been, what I pictured was that we were going to just kind of send you off with this word of encouragement and affirmation and yet kind of a challenge in it to be all you can be kind of thing. You know, I mean, I just, you know, something to kind of hold you for the summer. And yet as I personally prayed, it was like, oh, so Lord, you're coming, you're bringing me back to what we started with. And so I think it's very interesting that the very first teaching that I shared when we met for the very first week is the one that he showed me he wanted me essentially to finish with. But then what so blesses me is to see how he confirmed that through the three of you. As I said, we had not shared at all what we were going to share. And from the moment that Paula got up, I'm just thinking, oh, Lord, you know. So, I mean, in truth, I don't even need to say a word. But because I am who I am, I will. I love the privilege of getting to share with you gals. And yet, truly, it really does come down to that. It comes down to your relationship with the Lord, your knowing him. I just cannot emphasize that enough. You need to know him. And relationships take time. There are women you may have met just through this study. And you see each other every Thursday, and maybe each week you get to know that person a little bit more, and you think, gosh, I like that person. I wish I could see that person more. And your relationship grows, you know, little by little by little. And the only way you're going to really get to know that person is to log time with them. And how true that is of our relationship with the Lord. We can come here Sundays, we can come here Wednesdays, we can go to other Bible studies, and all of that is wonderful. And all of that helps us to get to know him. But nothing really replaces that one-on-one time with him. Earlier this week, my head was kind of spinning in all sorts of directions, and I had been seeking the Lord regarding some very specific things and waiting for answers and hoping for answers, and one day thinking I had the answer, and then the next day not being so sure, and just constantly coming to him. And the other day, I felt like my brain was just like, you know. And also I just felt kind of, I'm usually a person who feels a lot of joy. I mean, it's a gift from the Lord, but I really do. I feel a lot of joy, and I'm so thankful for that. But this particular day, my head was going in 100 different directions, and it was like someone had let the air out of a balloon. You know, it was like, you know, and I was trying, I didn't realize this, but I was trying on my own to try to kind of get myself stabilized. And I realized, what are you doing? You're not the one who can stabilize yourself. You need to just go be with the Lord. And I took my Bible and I went and I just sat in my chair in my living room. And I took some deep breaths, and I just closed my eyes, and I leaned back, and I said, Lord, I know I need to be with you. I know I need to let you settle my heart. I need to let you give me perspective, because it's a quieting, God, that only you can do. It wasn't what I would call prayer time, in that I wasn't continuing to barrage him with a, so what are we going to do about this, and how do you want me to do, you know, that kind of stuff. Not that that's wrong, but that isn't what I needed then. I needed to be quieted, and that meant just come before him. Just be quiet before him. Let him quiet my heart. Let him remind me that he's the one who orders my steps. You know, I can have all these plans going, and they can be good plans, but he is the one who orders my steps, and that's the way I want it. I'm sure that's the way you want it. But what I count on in a moment like that is that I have a relationship with the Lord where I know who I'm coming before. I know who I'm quieting myself before, and I know who I'm spending time with. that didn't just happen in a day, you know, gray hair. I mean, that has happened over years and years and years, but it is the sweetest relationship in my life, and it's the sweetest relationship in your life. If your relationship with the Lord is the one constant relationship that you will have always. People come and go. People come into your life. People might have an incredibly important part in your life. But maybe circumstances change that. Maybe they get to go home to heaven before you do. There is one constant person we can turn to, and that is the Lord. And so I so want to encourage you to nurture your relationship with the Lord and realize that even as that is the most important relationship you can nurture in your life, it's also the most important relationship that you can nurture in your child's life. You want them to know the Lord. And if you know the Lord, if you turn to the Lord, if you call out to Him and you let Him quiet you, that is the most natural thing that you will pass on to your children. Yes, you might have those times where that we call, you know, devotions with your kids and prayer time, and all of that is wonderful. All of that is a part of it. But realize that your hour by hour, day by day, moment by moment life is teaching your kids your values, teaching your kids who is the most important person in your life, teaching your kids who do you go to in trouble, who do you ask for help, who do you go to when you need to be comforted. Those are the things you're teaching your kids every day through your own relationship with the Lord. And for those of you who don't have kids, the sweetest information you can pass on to another person in need is that the Lord loves them, that the Lord is there for them, that they can call out to Him and He will hear them and He will answer them. On every front, it's the best thing we have to offer, and it's the best thing that we have to receive. And 1 John, and I hadn't planned on this verse, but then this morning when we sang it, I thought, oh, that is so perfect. And it's kind of a paraphrase of what we sang, and where it says, we know that we live in Him and He in us. And isn't that a wonderful thing to know, you know, that we live in Him, you know? And I love when we're singing, you know, it's in Him we're finding who we are. That is the truth. And that works in two ways, you know. When you come before the Lord, you know, it's like the Old Testament prophets of, you know, woe is me, because then you see who you are. And it is, it can be pretty humbling. But that's a good thing. But to see who you are is important. It puts you where you need to be. But then also, as you know the Lord, you see who you can be in Him. What with your relationship in Him, you can be, you can do. And it is far greater, I can guarantee you, than anything you would ever imagine for yourself. With Him, all things are possible. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many of us have spoken that scripture to our own hearts, reassuring ourselves, pumping ourselves up? I can do all things through Christ. But it's the truth. We can do all things through Him. But it takes that knowledge. It takes knowing Him to not only be comforted by that scripture, but to know that it's true. I love the things that Debbie and Marna shared as well. And again, how does the Lord speak to us through his word if we don't know his word? I just recently got a new car, which is very, very exciting. And I was driving that new car less than 2 weeks, maybe it was 10 days. And a little yellow light went on in my dashboard. And I looked at that, and I thought, oh, and I had the same kind of car for almost 12 years, so I just got a new version of it. And I immediately remembered, I had a little yellow light on that dashboard too, and for a year, Joe Dariano tried to figure out what was wrong with that little yellow light, because it was saying maintenance required, you know. And I remember when that happened the very first time thinking, can I make it to the garage, you know? And then them saying, no, it's something that just kind of gets tripped, and truly everything in your car is okay, and we've got it shut off. And then I'd drive the car for 2 weeks and it would come back on, you know? And so seeing this yellow light didn't make me go, oh, a yellow light. You know, I thought, you know, yellow light on my dashboard. I better look into that when I get home. And so I'm driving along, and as I'm driving home, I'm thinking, you know, I'm looking at the temperature. The temperature's okay. And took my hands off the wheel, and it's driving totally fine. And I was only a few miles from home, so I just went on home. Drive into my garage and get out and walk around the car. My right back tire was flat and so damaged by my driving on it that it could not even be repaired. If when I got the car, and I know most people don't do this, but if when I got the car, I had gotten that manual and said, you know, I'm going to learn what all the little things on my dashboard mean. And I will say this, I had looked to see what that yellow light meant. I mean, I turned in and it says underneath maintenance required. So, I mean, that's one reason why I immediately went back to, oh yeah, I remember that, you know. If I had read that manual, that yellow light would have spoken to me. We need to read this manual. Because how many times have you walked in ways you shouldn't have? And looking back, you know that yellow light went on. You know that you know God was sending you that yellow light. And you kind of did what I did, you know, like, well, I better check later as I went my way. The Lord will not be able to speak to us through his word unless we know his word. And yet he has left us with his word so that we can know him, because he is the word, and we can know what he has for us. Marna sharing from Proverbs, I cannot tell you how, and I've shared with you that when my kids were little, I was not walking with the Lord at that time, which I so regret, because there's a whole different foundation I would have purposed to lay for them. And so much would have been based on Proverbs. As I read Proverbs, as my kids were already older, I thought, oh, the wealth of wisdom that is found in Proverbs. But you need to know the word, both for the Lord to bring that word to your mind and for you to be motivated, inspired, even corrected to teach it and to live by it in your own life. So we're blessed because we know that we live in him and he is in us. But the last verse that I wanted to share is, and also 1 John 4, and it's verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Is that so sweet? We know and we rely on the love God has for us. His motive toward us is always love. Remember, Satan never has a good day toward us, no matter what. He never has a good day toward us. He never has a good day that he hopes it goes well for us. His good day in our life is when he can bring destruction, when he can bring pain, when he can bring hurt, when he can bring division. That's his good day. But the Lord's motive toward us is always love. When he corrects us, it's motivated by his great love for us. He's in our corner. You know, we're here to cheer you on. Oh my goodness, the Lord is in our corner to cheer us on. So know him. Know his love for you. And know that you can rely on it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the 14 weeks, Lord, that you have given us to meet together. And we just trust that you have blessed each one, you have used each one, and how grateful we are. What a privilege it is to gather in your name, Lord. What a joy it is to have you speak to us, to have you draw near to us as we draw near to you. And Lord, I pray that through these weeks, we have come to know you better, to know your word, to know your love for us. Lord, have your way in our lives. Help us to trust you. Help us to be obedient to you. Help us to walk with you. And Lord, remind us that we could seek you and spend time with you every single day for the rest of our lives and still never fully know you. And yet what a joy it is to know that we are fully known by you. Lord, have your way in our lives. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Teach us, lead us in the way we should go. And may we, even as Paul has so beautifully demonstrated, may we walk with you. May we follow as you lead, Lord. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.